There are two texts this morning, both familiar during this season. Matthew 2, I'll read verses 1 through 8, and then we'll skip over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. The question this morning as we read these stories, this narrative, is how was the good news communicated? How was the good news delivered? How was the good news given? That will be the theme of the message. And so as we read through, you can kind of think it through, and then we'll muse together in these two texts. Matthew 2, 1 through 8, this is God's word. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I may come and worship him." Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 20. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray. Father, now we ask that you would open your word to us. And again, fill us with the wonder of a familiar story, and yet so very profound and not so familiar. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus Christ was born, the message of his birth was given by many means, and the message of his birth went far and wide. No ordinary birth announcement, this. This morning, let's muse together. Let's muse once again on a familiar story, the familiar story of the birth of Jesus Christ, familiar
and yet not so familiar.
Let's ask about the birth announcement. Let's ask, how was the good news given? By what means was the birth announced? How was this message delivered? To whom was the message of Jesus' birth given? And how was it communicated to them? It's the same question. How? How was the good news given? How was it communicated? How was it delivered? We'll look at Matthew's account first, and then we'll look at Luke's in answering that question. So how was the message? How was the good news given? It was obviously all of these points have that subtext. They were all given by God, obviously, but we're going to look a little more closer in the very agencies and means that God has used. So we could ask, well, how was the message given? And first, you see that Matthew was given by a star. Wise men, magi, astrologers, astronomers from the east, sent by a court, possibly Babylon. They were sent. They saw the star, an unusual heavenly phenomenon. They saw it, a star in the east or a star rising. There's some question about how we can interpret, translate this. They saw a star and it was unusual, yet they were able to interpret it rather in a sophisticated way. They were able to interpret it and get the message right that this star indicated that the King of the Jews has been born. Imagine. They see this unusual heavenly phenomenon, a star in the east or rising, and they knew, they interpreted it in a sophisticated way, the King of the Jews has been born. Now they know that Rome put Herod as King of the Jews, and that was his title, Herod the Great, King of the Jews from 84 or from the 40 BC by the Roman Empire, by the imperial authority, Herod the Great, King of the Jews, and he held that very, very closely. They knew there was a King of the Jews, but here's one who was born the King of the Jews. And so they come to Jerusalem, and it wasn't a question of whether he was born. They knew he had been born by virtue of this star. They knew by this natural phenomenon that the King of the Jews had been born. They come long distance, dangerous journey in the middle, really, of enemy territory, in the middle of Jerusalem. And they ask, not if he has been born, but where he has been born. We have come to pay him homage. We have come to worship him. How God revealed to strangers, astrologers, astronomers from the east, and they saw a star further in the east, and so they come west in order to worship the baby born King of the Jews. How God has revealed a message to strange men, a strange culture, in a very strange way, and yet the heavens do declare the glory of God. And they see it, they interpret it, they understand, and they come. There is a desire, a deep desire, rather vague, somewhat misty, foggy, but they come. They know this, the King of the Jews has been born. Is it the Savior of mankind? They're probably not too clear on that, but they want to come, this strange desire, like a magnet drawing them from the east to the west to Jerusalem to find the baby, the King of the Jews. How God communicates the message. Today, scientists could tell you all about the stars. To a certain extent, the best scientists are rather humble. But they could tell you the makeup of stars and why certain stars appear at certain times and comets and whatever else. They could tell you that, but they can never tell you the why. They can tell you the what. Scientists can't tell you the why. And it's unfortunate today that they dismiss that question out of hand, the why. But not so the Magi. They understand. The king has been born. And so they come. Well, first way, a star. What's the second way? How does God reveal the birth of Jesus? By a star, and how? Well, you can see it in verse 3, when Herod the king heard of this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. So how was the message given? The message was given by rumor. The message was given by gossip, by whispering, by people talking about it in the various pubs, places throughout Jerusalem. Possibly Herod had his spies, and they're hearing the rumors, the gossip. They're hearing the scuttlebutt, and they come back and report to Herod. He hears. How was the message communicated? The message was communicated by rumor, by gossip, by the reports of spies coming to Herod. It's interesting that it seems like the Magi show up and this question, this inquiry, well, the king of the Jews has been born, but where? Where? And all of a sudden, this inquiry takes on a life of its own. Ah, the king of the Jews has been born. Messiah has been born. Where? Where is he? Where is the baby? Jerusalem really becomes a scuttlebutt. A stew of rumor and gossip and various reports that eventually get back to Herod. Herod, a pathologically paranoid king. Fearful, angry, and when he hears the message, he immediately knows what he must do. In a rather snake-like way, a serpentine way, to put to death this child. After all, he is the king of the Jews. And you notice in the text how Herod is referred to, Herod the king, Herod the king. And Rome has given him that title, Herod the Great. He is the king, and he is going to protect his position, his power, and his title. He will eventually kill many children from age 2 and under in order to protect his power. Herod hears the message, and he then goes to the various chief priests and scribes. But here is the message. It's spreading. It's throughout Jerusalem. In a rather intriguing way, strangers show up, these wise men, these magi, to Herod. Herod then goes, thirdly, to the chief priests and the scribes of the people and asks, well, where is the child? Where is the child to be born? And so thirdly, the message is really given in some ways in a clear way, a clearer than the star, clearer than the rumors and the scuttlebutt, through a text of Scripture, through the prophet Micah. They know that it will be Bethlehem out of which the ruler will come who will shepherd his people. So it's a rather interesting chain of events, cause and effect. Magi show up asking, well, where is he? Where is he even born? Herod hears it and in fear and anger conspires to put him to death, goes to the chief priests and to the scribes of the people and asks, well, where? And out of a text of Scripture, they know, out of a text of Scripture, they know the good news. Christ has been born. And notice how Herod puts it. He doesn't ask, well, where is the king? He asks, where is the Christ, Messiah? Jews are anticipating the birth of this Messiah for generations. And now the prophecy has been fulfilled. And the chief priests and the scribes know it will be in Bethlehem. Wonderful ways, mysterious ways in which God is communicating this message, giving the good news. A star, rumor, gossip, scuttlebutt, a spy's report, and a text of Scripture. God speaks. And when he does, the message seems to take a life of its own. The king has been born. Now, an interlude. consider the various ways
that I've just mentioned to you, and we can go, well, one, by a star, two, by rumor, spies report, scuttlebutt, three, by a text of Scripture. The news is getting out. The news is getting out. Does that not in some way cause you to step back a little bit and think, whoa, this message is spreading in various ways, in ways that you could not predict or anticipate, certainly ways in which we would not, that we would not organize, the various agencies that God uses in order to get the good news out. He still speaks, and there's still something of a life to His Word that is delivered and that goes forth indeed. And we see it testified here over the birth of Jesus. I want you to consider the emphasis of Matthew. And think of it in terms of class society, because we'll look at Luke, which is comparative, contrastive. What do you see in Matthew? What level of society would you think when you read through this text? After all, again, Jesus is going to be born king. And what does this text testify of? What does it describe? What level of society? What class? What's governing class? It's high class. This is high society. The Magi are held in high respect, and they know this, that they, by their own initiative, do not seek out the child. This is not an individual thing. They are really emissaries, ambassadors from some court, possibly Babylon, going to Jerusalem to inquire about the king of the Jews. They are on a quest representing their own court, their own society. They are sent men. This is just not some pious group that now desire to go search out a child. Indeed, the desire is there, but they are sent officially. This is government stuff. And we are told, to whom does the rumor come when they're inquiring in the middle of Jerusalem? Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. Herod hears it. Herod the king. Herod the king. He hears of it, and then he is going to act. And to whom does Herod go? He goes to the chief priests. He goes to the scribes of the people. This is not democracy. This is not, yes, all Jerusalem hears of this. But what Matthew focuses upon is the governing class, the high class. This is where this message is very much alive. And this is what Matthew emphasizes. The message will penetrate, but it's rather interesting how the message does. It's a little murky. It's a star. And then Magi arrive. And then Herod hears it and interprets and conspires to kill the child. And the chief priests and the scribes, they'd have to go to the ancient texts in order to know, well, where is he to be born? Ah, we find in Micah, it'll be in Bethlehem. It's rather interesting. The message penetrating the highest echelons of society, even Herod the king. And all are acting. All are concerned. All are either afraid or they're seeking to worship. A star has to be interpreted. Herod has to interpret the reports. The chief priests and scribes have to interpret Scripture. And they come to this conclusion that he's born in Bethlehem. No one's doubting the birth. And they all come to the conclusion it's Bethlehem, and they'll descend on it. Where you're going to find in Luke, the emphasis when we turn to it, is going to be lowbrow. It'll be low society. It'll be the working class. It'll be dirty hands. It'll be the smell of animals and their dung. It will not be the upper echelons. But you need to consider when you look and make the comparison that in Luke, the message, the way it's delivered, is not murky. It doesn't need sophisticated interpretation. It comes directly from the courts of heaven, from God Himself. And it is very clear. The shepherds will go and they will report to Mary and Joseph and others the statement that they heard. It's rather interesting how we've interpreted that, translated that in Luke. The statement that they've heard. It's no star that they have to interpret. No rumor that they have to somehow gather intelligence and make a decision on. It's no ancient text of Scripture that they have to interpret. No, directly from heaven it's a message without ambiguity, without any murkiness. Very, very clear and direct, straightforward. So let's take a look at it. Let's turn to Luke 2.
Again, verses 8 through 20. Continuing to ask the question, how was the message given? And we have to do some interpretation a little bit. We can say, fourthly, that it was given by God Himself. It says that within the text in a rather subtle way, but it is the case. From the courts of heaven, we know the courts of heaven as the Old Testament describes sons of God gathering in the court before the Lord and the Lord speaking to the sons of God. Remember Job, the beginning of Job. And there's various texts that describe the courts of heaven and where God speaks to the angels and they speak back and He gives them various directions and charges and commands them to do various things. We know that. Heaven is a very lively place. It's not a static place. It's just not God as an old man somewhere up there kind of watching over things. It's a universe next to our universe. It's in some sense a counterpart, a heavenly reality, which is a country beyond our country on the other side of the veil. And it is alive with creatures and with God in the center and kind of fellowshipping and giving direction to the various angels, to the sons of God, as they are referred to in Job. And here we see it as well. An angel of the Lord comes. But why does it come? Why does this messenger come? It's very much like the Magi. They don't come on their own. This is not their message. It's not their initiative. They are told they must come. Here comes an angel, and we can interpret messenger of the Lord. How is the good news communicated of Christ's birth? It comes directly, if we could put it in an anthropological way, using human language and human imagery to describe God. It comes from the very lips of God Himself, this message. And He sends an angel with the message. So I don't want you to miss that. In Matthew, you don't get that emphasis. It's a star, it's Herod hearing rumors, it's the chief priest going to ancient texts. Here, it's an angel coming with a message directly from heaven, from the very lips of God Himself, that the Savior has been born. So don't miss that. An angel of the Lord, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Here is, and then the shepherds say, that which the Lord has made known to us. This is the message of the Lord, but it comes through an angel. So directly from God. How does the message come? Directly from heaven. Straightforward. And then do not miss the angel as the messenger who comes and making this declaration. Said to them, do not be afraid. The angel, glory of the Lord showing around them. The shepherds trembling, they are afraid. Who knows how this angel appeared? And again, sometimes like a human being, other times like a creature of some sort. We don't know how this angel appeared, the size, the magnitude. We don't know how the voice resonated. We do know this glory of the Lord in the middle of the night shining around. An angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord showing. And the angel says to the shepherds, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now, go back to Matthew. Who was afraid? It was Herod. It was all Jerusalem with him. They were all concerned. They were all afraid. Here, the angel comes and he says to the shepherds, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Any ambiguity there? For today in the city of David, location, graphic, concrete, no ambiguity there. This is not symbolism. This is history. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior. Again, this is straightforward stuff, straight up. Shepherds can understand this, and they were one of the lowest classes, one of the least educated, and here it is. They're getting the message. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. We'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Wonderful. How is the message given? Directly from heaven by God Himself, by this angel, this heavenly messenger to the shepherds. And the message is sealed by this heavenly host singing glory to God. And then last, the message is given. How is the message given? The message is given by simple testimony. By God Himself. By a heavenly declaration. I bring you glad tidings of good news. A heavenly declaration. And then by a simple testimony. The shepherds go and they talk about what they heard. Look. Verse 17. And when they had seen this, the shepherds had seen the child, Mary, Joseph, manger. They made known the statement which had been told them. They made known the statement which was made known to them. To Mary, Joseph, and there were others, apparently, some assembly hanging around this birth scene in a manger. The message was given by God, by an angel, and by shepherds giving really simple, faithful, clear testimony. The statement they heard, good news of great joy, a Savior has been born. News for all people. Savior has been born in the city of David. Christ the Lord. Christ, the Lord. It doesn't take sophisticated interpretation. It's rather straightforward. So here it is. The question, well, how is the good news given? How is the good news delivered? By a star, by rumor, scuttlebutt, spies report. How? By an ancient text of Scripture, the prophet Micah. How? By God Himself from heaven. How? An angel making a heavenly declaration that is so clear and understandable that even the shepherds can understand it. And how is it delivered? How is it communicated? How is the good news given? The shepherds go and they make known the statement which was made known to them. Don't you see how diverse? Don't you see how this message comes alive and it speaks to those very far away, alien people? It speaks to those in the upper echelons of government. It speaks to the lowest caste. And notice this, that the lowest caste has the greatest glory in the message told. In Matthew, you don't see the glory of the Lord. You don't see an angel come. It's to the shepherds, those who you would think in society less deserving, who wouldn't understand, the lowest of class, they get the direct message. They get the glory of the Lord. They get to see the angel. They get to see the heavenly host choir. They get to go and see the baby. Without intrigue. Without murderous conspiracy. Very simple, calm. Very quiet. Very good. You see the shepherds, they have this wonderful experience. They hear the message. They go tramping off to the manger. They find Him. Doesn't need a star. They find Him. And they talk about what they have heard. Now, don't you see the Lord? He'll speak to all in various ways. And now we know from Hebrews in Jesus Christ. He will speak to all in a message that really comes alive. And people will respond to it in different ways, yes. But it will reach all sorts of people in all kinds of ways, in ways that we could not predict, that we would not ourselves organize. We would not promote. Yet the Lord does it, and He does it so effectively. And the message has come to you. And the message has come to me. Rather simply. I remember the night I heard that Jesus rose from the dead. I was about 18. I've told this. I won't go over the whole story. A bunch of Jesus people, surfer freaks in an apartment with their King James Bible, tell me that Jesus rose from the dead, and I believed it. How did the message come to you? You may have been raised in a Christian home and heard it from the time you were in the cradle. Or possibly like Paul on the Damascus Road, you know, breathing threats, hating God, and then in a moment, something happens within your heart and mind and you're changed. Well, God speaks, and it's always a message. It's a message that captures us, that we hear by the power of the Holy Spirit that changes us. Have you heard that message? Has it changed you? Good news. That the There's one Lord. There's one King. Jesus Christ. He has been born. Now, we can't leave off the response, and I'll finish really, really quickly with this. You can't leave off the response, and you've seen it, and I made mention of it throughout the message, and very, very quickly, but there's a response that we can be much disturbed by, a response that we can be much disturbed by. Herod hears the response. He's absolutely convinced that the Christ has been born. And what does he do? He inquires, like the Magi, well, where? And then he lies. He feigns belief. Go and tell me where, like one of his spies. Magi, be some of my spies. Go see and come back because I want to worship him as well. Yeah, worship him. The lie. He's going to kill him. And he'll kill a host of children just to get at this one boy. I should say a host of children, a host of boys, in order to kill this one infant boy. And make no mistake about it, there's still earthly powers, there's still government powers that would want to put Jesus to death, that would want to put our boys to death, that would want to put our faith to death. I want to say Merry Christmas. But what is most disturbing is the complacency. And everybody picks up on this. Is the chief priests and the scribes of the people, they know, they're hearing, these strangers come into Jerusalem and they say, the king has been born, the king of the Jews. Where? And they know Bethlehem. Do you hear anything about their searching? Herod is going to search in order to kill. The Magi will search in order to pay homage and to worship. Where are the chief priests? Where are the scribes? Where are the people? Where are the Jews? Where are the covenant people? No, they're concerned about their own security, their own protection. They're concerned about their own comfort. They know Herod and how awful and horrible Herod could be as a tyrant over the people, wanting to associate with the people. Yeah, I'm a Jew too. He helps build the temple, the second temple, whatever else. And yet he is murderous. He's a pathological, paranoid tyrant. And everybody knows this. And so what are the Jews concerned about? Well, their own backside, their own security, their own comfort, their own protection. They don't go seek. That is most disturbing. And I have to say, that's a warning for us. Matthew is writing this, again, years later to Jews, both believing Jews and unbelieving Jews. Why? Why this emphasis? Because complacency. Because the church was being persecuted and very easily could become complacent, seeking their own protection, their own security, and not seeking to worship the Christ. Is that us? If it were to come down to it, and there are places on earth you can't assemble as a church, you'll be in danger. You'll be put in prison. Lose your job, lose your house, lose your family. Places on earth today, big nations, powerful nations. What would we do? Are we so immured with our, so reinforced by our comfort and by all of the wonderful, wonderful benefits of what was once possibly a capitalist society, a free society with our liberty? Have we become complacent? Would we just go along with the crowd, go along with whatever the governing authorities tell us all the time? Beware. Matthew is writing, and this is, I know, this is centuries ago, but the church is undergoing persecution now, and he's writing this, and it has that testimony. This text from Matthew has that testimony. You have murderous government officials wanting to do away with the faith, and then you have a class of people that are just complacent, more concerned with their own security. He's warning the church. And the Holy Spirit is warning you this morning. This is a message if you have ears to hear. But there's not only disturbing responses, murderous conspiracy, there is complacency, encouraging. And just quick, you see the Magi. What do the Magi do? They seek to worship. You have the shepherds. What are they going to do? They're going to seek to see and then to worship, to tell the news. There will be those who have gathered around that manger scene. And they're wondering at the things that the shepherds are saying. The shepherds, lowest caste in society, speaking of these glorious things, this heavenly declaration. They're wondering about these things. And then Mary, treasuring as she ponders these things in her heart. And as the shepherds go back, praising God for what they have seen, but the emphasis of what they've heard. Here's our response. This is our call. To seek, to continue to seek. Don't think you've already found what? You're master of the incarnation, of fellowship with Jesus, the living God. No, you're not. Continue to seek. You can't remain complacent even in your faith. And it's a wonderful pilgrimage. I'm telling you, it's filled with romance. It's filled with glory. It's filled with messages. It's filled with depth and profundity. Continue to seek. Seek Jesus, the living Christ. And then listen. Listen to the messages. Wonder about them. That's okay. You might raise questions. You might be skeptical. That's okay. Continue to seek as you wonder, as you question. Continue to seek as you think things through and really can't quite figure it out. Continue to seek and wonder. In the process of wondering itself as you seek, answers will be given along the way. Be patient, but it will make you a deeper human being. You will be more shaped into the image of Christ, into the image of God. You will be a person who is profound, wise, so much unlike what we see all around us of people listening to the blather of the narrative out there, thinking they know something when they know nothing. You can be a people of conviction, knowledge, and understanding, still asking the good questions, still wondering about heavenly, eternal realities, and being deepened by it in wisdom, knowledge, and in understanding. Treasure these things in your heart. Ponder these things. Meditate upon the incarnation of Jesus and who He is today. And brothers and sisters, in all of that seeking, you will see and you will hear. And you will hear a heavenly declaration again and again. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we ask now that you would impress the message upon our hearts, and may we so gather it, ponder, treasure, wonder about these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.